I just want to be honest, as we start, I'm feeling a bit conflicted in sense of what to share, just with all the prophetic words coming through. And so I've got sort of two messages that I'm weighing up in my heart to share, one that I've prepared for this Sunday. So I have prepared, don't worry. The Holy Spirit can lead us, but we bring an offering to Him. And so I have prepared, I do have a message, but just through sensing, there might even be something else that God wants to say. So I just want to pray again, more for myself, just for God to settle which way He wants to go with us this morning. We want to be a fluid people. We want to plan and bring ourselves, as I said, bring an offering to the Lord, but for Him to do with that offering what He pleases. And if that's to share something else this morning and it's not as well put together, that's really not the point. The point is that God would speak to His people. That's what we are. We can get so professional in church. We can have all our ducks in a row. We can have the best worship team and the best setup and all of those things. But that's not what pleases God. God is pleased by people who are fully yielded and submitted to Him. And so let's take a moment, even if you just want to pray with me, to just say, God, speak to us, Your people. Yeah, Lord, I thank You for today, Lord. Thank You that when we get together like this, Lord, it's not for a show. It's not for information. It really is to hear the voice of our God and for You to speak to us, Your people, and to shift us and guide us wherever You want to take us. And so just even in this moment, Lord, I submit to You, we submit to You, and we say, come speak. Come speak, Your servants are listening, Lord. Come speak to us, Lord. Oh, thank You, God. Okay, I am going to share the other message. You know, it's difficult. Like, hearing the voice of God is not that simple. Sometimes it's just a nudge, and you need to, as Peter, you need to step out on the water and trust that you're going to walk. So if I fall into the water, Jesus will hopefully pull me out. I haven't prepared this message. I haven't looked at it, but there are a few things that I've got written down that I'd love to share with you. And so, AV team, sorry. They went through a wild ride. I gave them so many scriptures this morning for my message. It probably took half an hour or so to put on, so a little bit more maybe. So thank You for Your grace and Your patience. The title of the message, the new message that I'm going to share with you this morning is, if you wanted to write it down or remember it, because we won't have it up on the screen, is Lukewarm and Loving It. Lukewarm and Loving It. And we might at the outset say that's not possible. You can't be lukewarm. You can't have a sort of love for God, as the Bible speaks about not being hot or not being called for God, and actually love it. But I want to try and convince you biblically that lukewarm people do not know that they are lukewarm. And you might be sitting here thinking that you are hot or that you are in a good place with the Lord, but maybe God wants to even come and prod your heart this morning and just put His finger on your heart and say, I know what you think, but I think something different. And when God comes to an opinion, when God shows you the state of your heart and where you are at spiritually, the best thing that we can do is say, Lord, but then I submit to You. And so pride this morning would keep you from saying, I'm lukewarm. Everything in you, pride, you know, pride is such an interesting thing. Pride is the one thing that we are completely blind to. Very few people know that they are proud. Pride is something that blinds you and you do not know you have it. But what your heart does is you resist the prompts of the Lord. You resist God's finger on you. But we should be a humble people to say, Lord, if I'm lukewarm and I do not know it and I'm loving it, I'm loving my relationship with You. It's good in my eyes. But if God is to come this morning and say, but in my eyes, I see it differently, then we are to be a humble people. Do not argue with Him. Check the state of your heart. Allow Him to come and work deeply in you, even if you think that you are in a good place this morning. Can we do that? Can we commit that together? Don't go on your own estimation. Go on the estimation of God, because that is the true estimation. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He might have a totally different opinion. And what I'd love to do is, if God is speaking to us as a church this morning, the beautiful thing is that the Bible is so clear, and there's a church in the Bible that God came to, and He had a specific message for them. And His message was, as exactly as I said, He came to this church. It's the church in Laodicea. We read about them in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to go through a couple of verses now, where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, so just to give you a bit of context, Jesus dies, He's resurrected. He's not in His human form anymore. He's in His heavenly body. But you know, the fact that he's dead does not mean he's dead. He is alive and he is well and he's not the suffering servant anymore. He is the supreme reigning king in heaven. He looks a bit different. He is the rider on the white horse. He is the strong one in heaven now. So make sure you know who this Jesus is that we are serving. He's not just the meek and wild one. So this powerful Jesus, still active, still reigning today, it was not just his time on earth. He looks at a church, and the scary thing about this church is this was just after he left earth. So you would think this church is incredible, right? I don't know about you, but if Jesus was just here 20 years ago or 10 years ago, I would hope that we are running for him fully. But he comes to this church and he wants to change the estimation of themselves. See, they think that they are good. They think that they are in a good space. But Jesus comes to them and he says, I've got a different opinion. And I wanna go through just what he said to this church in Laodicea. He says the following in Revelation 3, verse 14 to 16. Shame Linky, do you want to try? Revelation 3, verse 14 to 16. It says the following. I just want to slowly go through it with you. It says, and to the angel of the church, just to make sure, yeah, he's speaking to the angel of the church. I'm going to pause here and there, so try and follow me as I go through it. When he speaks about the angel of the church, this is now Jesus speaking. So in your Bible, you'll see this is in red letters. He's speaking to the, it is really. he's speaking to the angel of the church, and there have been many debates, but I think actually what many believe is that word angel is the word messenger. And so many believe that when he's speaking to the angel of the church, he's actually speaking to the elder or elders of that church, to the leaders of that church. Because when God does something, he starts in the leaders. And so even if you're sitting here as a leader today, I want to say to you, be extra vigilant for the voice of God this morning. Because we will break open nothing in this church if it's not broken open in those who stand as leaders in this church first. If we are proud, if we say this is a message for someone else, but we don't allow God to come speak to us, nothing will change. That is the way of God. He starts with his leaders. He says, you humble yourself. If you esteem yourself as a leader, if you esteem yourself as someone mature in the Lord, you better be the first one to say, Lord, then I will repent. God's church works differently. It is not those that look eloquent. It is those who humble themselves. Jesus, like a suffering servant, who say, yes, Lord, I will be the first to serve. I will be the first to repent. And so Jesus speaks to his leaders firstly in Laodicea, and he says, write these words. The words of the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Here's Jesus' words. He says, I know your works, church. You are neither cold nor hot. Were that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And so many of us have heard this being applied to individuals, but the interesting thing is he's looking at a church and he's saying, you as a church are lukewarm. And you know what? We as a church need to yield to God in that same way. Yes, the church is made up out of individuals, so each of us need to be burning for the Lord. That is the fact. But God could have an estimation of all of us and say, well, God, then we need to together hold each other accountable to get out of the space that we are in. It's not just up to me. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. If God is speaking to all of us, then all of us should journey together and say, well, then we together should repent. As a public repentance even. And maybe that is even what God is calling us to this morning. But he's saying, I wish that you were either hot or cold. How incredible of God to say that. He's saying, I prefer you to be cold, not serve me, than have a lukewarm faith. That's something that needs to sink into us. God would rather have you turn your back on him, not follow him, not be in the church, rather than you being here, but being sort of in love with him, sort of in relationship with him, sort of serving him, sort of coming now and then, sort of being involved now and then. God is not into that. We look over those things. We say, oh, as long as you just sort of with us in church, sort of serving the God, that's okay, the Lord, that's okay. God says no. Rather leave it. We don't know a God like that. We don't know a Jesus like that. We only know Jesus that's meek and mild. We only know a lamb. We don't know a savior on a white horse riding, conquering. We don't know that Jesus, but that Jesus speaks to a church and he says, no, do it fully or don't do it at all. That's his words, and that's his word to you this morning. I don't know where your spirituality is at. Don't know where your relationship with God is at, but this is a word for you. Do it fully or don't do it at all. Not from Leonard. It's something we're seeing in the Bible. It's a principle we see in the Bible. Or don't do it at all. And I don't know what that looks like for you. And listen, I'm not trying to judge on outward appearance. I don't know where your heart's at. But God wants you to take a step deeper. God wants you to be more involved. God wants you to serve him more deeply. He wants you to lay down every other thing so that you can serve him the way that he wants to be served. That is the Jesus that we follow. And this word spit, again, I want to show you a different vision of Jesus this morning. And maybe you've never thought of him like that. It's time for you to change. To change your thinking, to change the way that you see him. You know, our girls, sometimes I fall into the trap, and I get that, but we teach them to pray in Afrikaans, Liewe Jesus. Oh man, he's Liewe Jesus, but he's much more than that. It's also Holy Jesus. Conquering Jesus. Awesome Jesus, the Jesus that I fear. I fear him because when he comes to divide. He comes to bring a sword. He comes to separate right from wrong, wheat from chaff, goats from sheep. He comes to divide. He comes to bring his standard. That's also the Jesus that we serve. It's not just Leviesis. He says, I will spit you out of my mouth. That word spit, the Greek for that word spit is not spit. It's actually vomit. It says, I detest it. I detest if you are sort of serving me. Are you okay with God saying that to you? We're saying, yeah, I know you're trying, but I don't like it. I don't like it the way that you're doing it. I don't like half-hearted. I like full or I don't like it at all. He's calling you. That's the thing, when we get saved, when we give our lives to Jesus, sometimes the prayer that we pray is, Lord, I give my heart to you. We sung it this morning, Lord, I give you my heart. But Jesus is saying, but what about your life? What about your wallet? What about your time? What about your relationships? What about all of those things? Will you give me that as well, or will you just give me your heart? We've got such a misunderstanding, but we need to say, Lord, I give you my everything. I give you my life. Have you given him your everything? Have you given him your service, your time? You know, I'm well done to each of you who have come in the midst of like a cold morning. Well done. That is, just to say, that is the type of Christianity that God wants. I thought about that old Yule song, song this morning. They sang this song, I can't even remember, it was One Way, one of those songs, but and I loved it as when I was young. It says, I won't let the weather hold me back. I'm like, well, that's amazing. That's the type of relationship that God wants with you. I won't let the weather hold me back. I won't let my finances hold me back. I won't let my comfort hold me back. I won't let my relationships hold me back. I will give you everything and place you first in everything in my life, Jesus. And it will show in my actions. It will show in my devotions. It will show in how I give myself to the church, his body as well. It will show. Otherwise, he will vomit you out. And the scary thing is, if you're lukewarm, you think you're okay. You don't think he's going to vomit you out. But maybe this morning he's saying, oh man, you better come. You better repent. You better make your life right with him. But you might say, okay, I hear you, but I probably would have known if I was there. But listen to what Jesus says in Revelation 3 verse 17. I don't know if it's in the next verse. It says, he's speaking to the same church that he just rebuking for the fact that they are lukewarm. He says, just say that with me, those first three words. One, two, three. For you say. Let's try that again. One, two, three. For you say. What does that say? Jesus is saying, this is your opinion. You say, I am rich. I have prospered. I have need of nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked. You've got an opinion of yourself. I've got a different opinion. This is the Jesus that we are serving. And Revelation 3 verse 12, it's got this dire warning. Again, this is in the Bible. We love the security of God. We love the love of God. But you know, can I just say this? Love also disciplines. we've got a distorted view of love. Yes, God is love, but what do you define that love as? Is there space in your understanding of the love of God that He would also discipline you? Revelation 2 verse 17, I think, don't put it up. I'm going to be wrong, probably, but it's in the Bible, I promise. Jesus never quoted exact verses. He just said, the Bible says. So the Bible says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Part of His love is that He would come to you sternly this morning and shake you out of your stupor. That He would shake you out of your comfort. That is His love. I love my children, therefore I discipline them. Because I've got a better future in store for them. I know what I want for them and I know what God wants for them. Therefore, even though I don't like it sometimes, I need to step into that place of discipline. How much more will God do that to you? He will be there to comfort. He will be there to give you love and support and hugs. That is God. But He will also discipline you. And the Bible in Hebrews 12 says, no discipline is pleasant at the time. Meaning God will do things to you and in you that are not pleasant. But in due time, the Bible says, it produces a harvest of righteousness. He will do things that are not nice in you now and shake you up and say, I want more of you now, because He knows in due time, you will follow Him the way that He wants to be followed and where you will actually make a difference for Him in your life. Hebrews 3 verse 12. It says, take care, brethren. Well, it's saying brethren because it's speaking to the church. It's not speaking to unbelievers. That there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. That means you could fall away from the living God. And we think that that is when massive sin enters your life. Let me say, what's more dangerous than deliberate sin or sin that you know of is little sin. A little bit of compromise is actually more dangerous than a lot of compromise. Because when there's a lot of compromise in your life, when you know that you are on the outside, that you're not serving God like you should, you know, then at least you know that you are cold. What's even worse is when you are just that little bit off. Because there was this other song, I can't remember the band, but they spoke about the fact that many times we fall out of Christianity and it's a slow fade. It's just, I spend time with God just a little bit less and less and less, lukewarm. And before I know it, I'm not with Him anymore. I go to church a little bit less and less and less. And before I know it, I'm not with the people of God anymore. I share the good news of Jesus a little bit less and less and less, lukewarm. And before I know it, I'm not a light shining in this world anymore. And I've become irrelevant, and that's not what God wants for us. There's this thing that Andrew teaches, that if you are 1 degree off, in 100 kilometers, you are very off. You're not just this little bit off. And so we need to be so careful that we are not slowly drifting. That's what lukewarmness will do to you. You'll think that you're okay. You'll have an estimation of yourself. But slowly but surely, you'll be drifting away from the living God. And this morning, He's shaking you, saying, stop. Don't think it's just 1 degree. Repent of that 1 degree. Come to true north. Come to the way that I want you to walk. Years ago, I hate cold water. I don't like it, but I moved to Bloberg Strand. I was asked to come onto eldership there. And in Josh Tree, not yet there, you need to be a surfer if you want to be an elder. So I'm just joking. It felt like that. So I decided I don't like cold water. I don't actually like swimming that much, but I'm going to try my hand at surfing. We live there. I need to try and surf. And so I got a surfboard, I got a wetsuit, and I braved the incredibly cold water. It was so cold. But I remember that clearly, one day we were in Malpas Strand, which is really beautiful. And it's one of those pictures that I'll never forget. The sun was setting, and if you're in the ocean there, and you sit, they call it the back line. There are these, you must get through the waves, which is the most difficult part, and then you go sit behind the waves. It's beautiful, and you can sit on your surfboard, and it's just this wonderful feeling. Because as we were sitting there, the sun was setting and you could see Table Mountain in the distance. It was so beautiful. But what I did not know is what I could not see was that we were sitting on a riptide, on a swell. And a riptide is something that you don't see. If you don't know to look for it, if your eyes are blind to it, you don't see it. And what it does is it pulls you deeper into the ocean. And because the ocean is quite flat where you are, you don't realize that you are being pulled deeper and deeper into danger. You don't even realize it. And I was with one of my friends who leads Joshua in Mossel Bay now, and we were surfing together, and we just had this wonderful chat. We were enjoying life, enjoying the beauty of God's creation. It was so wonderful. But when we thought, okay, now we're going to catch a wave to get out, we thought, okay, but Khona, where are the waves? We're so far away from the waves. This riptide has pulled us deep into the ocean. We are actually in danger here. And we started paddling back, not knowing that you can't paddle into a riptide. You need to get out of the riptide to the side and then paddle. So we paddled straight into this riptide. And I just looked to my friend Anis, and I saw his eyes were wide open, and I saw fear in his eyes. Because he realized our lives are in danger here. And we saw surfers, but they were way there towards the shore. And eventually, we're paddling, and eventually we get to a place where we can catch a wave. We are tired. We get out of the water. We're like, that was not good. Lesson learned. What was the lesson? The lesson learned was that when you get in the water, you always make sure that you've got beacons. You look at where the house or the rock is that you get in, and you make sure that you're always in line with that rock. So that if the water pulls you to the one side, you always, every now and then, you make sure, I don't want to be 1 degree off. I just paddle back to my horizontal beacon. And then you look at where the waves are breaking. And every now and then, you just ask yourself, am I still close to the back line where the waves are breaking? And if you're not, you make sure to not just sit there and be comfortable. Again, you're hearing me, comfortable, but paddle to a safe place. And the same thing applies in your Christianity. You need to now and then have a moment where you stand still and you ask yourself, where am I in my relationship with God? How am I doing? Am I still serving Him the way that He wants me to? Because the problem is, if you drift too far, you know how difficult it is to get back. But you need to do that regularly. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions. And these are going to be like, there are many of these. If you read your Bible, there will be many. If you read your Bible the way that God wants you to read the Bible. Not just for information, but that the Bible becomes a mirror to you. You know what that means? It means if the Bible is a mirror, then if I read it, what it should do is I look at myself through the Bible. And you know, sometimes you've got a zit on your face. And that's not good. You can leave it there. We've got those bad friends that never tell us we've got a zit or something in your teeth. But the Bible properly read is this. I look at it and it is like a mirror shining my own reflection back at me. But then I need to do something about that reflection. I need to make sure that I look presentable to the Lord. That's the way that the Bible is supposed to be read, not just for information, not just to eat of it and gather information, but to let the Lord show you where you are spiritually and to convict you, and that we would have soft hearts and repent before Him. So I want to give you a couple of questions. You can write these down, but maybe I just actually, and I'm going to give you a scripture with all of these. Maybe you don't have to put it up, Linky. Just listen to as I present these things. And maybe can I ask you, I just want to pray for us, that as I read these questions and these scriptures to you, that you would bring a soft heart to the Lord. I can't see into your hearts. I don't know what the answer to these questions are. But that you would say, Lord, if I have drifted off of the safe place, and I see it now as the Bible shines a mirror on me, that you would start repenting in your heart even now. Maybe Milan, even you can play on the keys for me, if you don't mind, wherever you are. So that we would even treat this as a form of worship, in a sense. To say, Lord, let's do this in God's presence. Let Him show you where you are right now. And I want to ask you that if God is starting to convict you, this is going to be a little bit different. We're throwing church out of the box this morning. We're doing it different. But that if God starts to convict you as we read through these things, you know what lukewarmness is going to ask you not to do? Ask you to do. It's going to tell you, sit still, shut up, you'll sort this out later. What being warm for Jesus is going to do is say, stand up and repent. You've drifted. Get back to the right place. Who cares what people think? Who cares who sees that you're responding? Who cares? The only person who you care about is the one up there and in here. It's Jesus. And he might be shining a light, and you could miss a moment if you're going to be lukewarm in this moment. But will you let him speak to your heart, and will you respond? And I'm going to ask you to be bold this morning, because this is what lukewarmness is. I want to shake you out and say, then if God is speaking to you, stand up and come to the front. Everything in you is going to say, no, don't do that. But can I challenge you like that? I didn't plan it like this. But I feel God prompting you. If you're serious with this, then be serious about it. Or else, don't. You know, I'm still new here in the church. And the nice thing about that is, if you leave, I don't know you yet. I don't want you to leave, hear me. But I think God would say to you this morning, do it well or don't do it at all. Then don't come. Then we'll build this church with Gideon's 300 mighty men. And God will have the victory. I don't care if there are less people sitting here. We want to do it right. We want to be a people wholly devoted to the Lord, not just a crowd who are half-heartedly following Him. Let me pray for us. Just soften your heart where you are. Lord, as I read these questions, even now, Lord, won't you come and won't you speak to your people, Lord? Myself included, Lord, and if there's that one degree that we are drifting, Lord, or we don't know it, but the riptide of sin in this world and compromise and being lukewarm is pulling us away from where you want us to be, Lord, I pray that we would have the boldness to respond, that we would have the boldness to say, up till here and no more. And Lord, I pray for us as a body of believers that if anyone stands up, that we would say that is not just their fight, it is our fight. If God is speaking to us as a church, we will journey this thing out together. I'm going to read you a couple of questions and you answer it in your heart. And when you're ready, I want you to come to the front as a way of responding. Or at least stand, or at least move out of your seat. Just something, don't stay where you are if God is speaking to you. Question number one, are you still actively fighting sin in your life? Are you still actively fighting sin, or have you gotten used to sin? Second Timothy 2 verse 22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have you gotten comfortable, or are you actively still fighting it? Question number two, are you regularly spending time with God? But Jesus answered, Matthew 4 verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are you still hungry for the bread of life? Or have you gotten used to only spending time with Him now and then when it suits you, when you feel so far away from Him? No, bread is something we consume on a daily basis, regularly. Are you regularly communing with the Lord? Question number three, are you regularly reading the Bible? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Is your Bible gathering dust? Is it something where you read a verse now and then when you feel like it, or are you actively consuming the Word of God and letting it change you and transform you? Question number four, and I phrase this differently, is your heart and body regularly attending church? Not just your body. You see, we can drag ourselves to church, we can be here because we must be here, but God wants us to want to be here because this is our family. And if anything is drifted in, whether that's church or whether you're just doing it to tick a box, that's not the way that God wants you here. You want your heart and your body at church. Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Next question, are you enjoying God and church? Oh, we can be faithful. We can be faithful Christians. We can be with God, spend time with God. That's not the question. The question is, are you enjoying God? Are you enjoying church? Are you enjoying being with His people, being convicted by Him because that's the best thing ever? Romans 12 verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Next question. Are you reaching out? Are you still reaching out to unsaved people? Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16, you must say your name there when I say you. Zendali, Tian, whoever, say your name there. Oh, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Are you still upset about your family that does not know the Lord? About your colleagues that do not know the Lord? Or have you grown comfortable? That's not the relationship that God wants with you. He wants you to cry for those people because He cries for them. He wants you to reach out to those people and be His hands and His feet because He is reaching out to them. So then respond and say, God, bring my heart back to true north, where it should be. Last question. Matthew 6 verse 19 to 21. This is maybe a challenging one. Is your bank account reflecting your faith? You know, if I draw a statement, your statement, you know, I can tell so much about you if I look at your bank account. I can tell you what you love. I can tell you what you spend your time on, because our finances reflect our hearts. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so the question is, what's happening in your finances even? Sometimes people say, we get saved, but the last part of us that gets saved is our wallet. Is your wallet saved? Matthew 6 verse 19 to 21, and I'm not just speaking about tithing, although I believe in tithing. I'm speaking about reaching out, giving to the poor, making sure that we use our money to be in church, to have people over for a meal. Those things should reflect in our finances. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I'm going to read you a last verse. So I think most of us are responding, and maybe you're sitting there and you feel like you should respond, but you're not sure what, and that's okay. You don't have to force it. But still bring your heart to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Oh, let's not be a failing people this morning. Let's be a people who succeed because we are willing to have soft hearts and repent before the Lord and say that we are sorry.